Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these game.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield. Just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis going on the second. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score.
The realest coverage in the spot.
What's going on, SEC Mixtape fans? Welcome to the show. 17 days from the season. Everybody's just too excited. I don't even know what to do. G. Willis, I don't know what to do. It's too close.
With your hands,
too close,
what
man.
You talking about? You?
The hay is in the barn. It's time. It's season. The season is here.
Kumbaya.
Quarterbacks are being named. Folks are being kicked off the team and suspended. Coaches getting in the span.
Big news.
Booger McFarlane just
hey,
Jones in the eye.
I got a question for you. Let's go ahead and jump into it, man. What could the guys in Florida could have possibly done misusing their funds? I mean, financial aid. I mean, what could they hit? What's the real news? What did they buy? Were they trying to swipe were they swiping their cards in the strip club? I mean, who said you can't use your student ID in the strip club? I mean, what's the problem?
Well, some of those strippers are actually students, man. So I mean,
what's the problem?
Use their funds to benefit. I don't think you could benefit. I don't think you can use your funds to benefit another student. Maybe that was it. If there was dropping dollars at the strip club, you know, you're not supposed to let another student eat on your card or do anything like that. So maybe they were.
Really?
I don't want to accuse them of feeding strippers, but that just sounds exciting. It sounds exciting. If I'm making up a story, I'm going with they were feeding strippers.
What's the name of the show tonight, Bonzo? What's the name of the show tonight, man?
I went all what I would call blue collar. I went white collar tonight. I went with Auburn names new quarterback and Saban loves Jalen. Saban loves Jalen. Saban loves Jalen.
What I'm going to do a subtopic tonight. Whenever I talk, I want to call this segment "What the Hell."
Ooh, I like the hell. Let's start with what the hell. I like it already, G. Let's do it. I love it already. What the hell, G? What the hell?
I mean, really, what the hell? Let's start with anybody. Just throw up a topic and I go with what the hell. Let's go with it. What you got?
Okay. I got you one. Here we go. Why the hell can what the hell be why the hell too? Can they kind of like
either way you like it, as long as we stay in hell.
Okay,
so
I'm gonna go why the hell first. And I'm gonna ask
okay.
you, why the hell did it take Gus Malzahn so long to start the name of starting quarterback? Why the hell did it take so
what
long?
What the hell? Well, I think it's mainly because he likes drama. I think you know you made a great point last week. I think that he's really trying to be strategic this year and hiding what he's doing. I mean, he tried to have a little drama. You know, Sean White. It's Sean White all day long. You can't hide his talent. So there really was no real drama when it came to the quarterback situation there. But I think he was just trying to throw the scent off of what he's really doing. And I think, just like Pat Dye said today on Twitter, this is the most talented team from bottom, top to bottom that he's seen. And he's trying to get the scent off the guy, which is smart.
Pat Dye said that?
Which is very smart. Pat Dye said that today. Best team he's ever seen from top to bottom. And you know what? Auburn has traditionally done horrible when ranked high and expected to do great things. So maybe he's playing that into his benefit. I don't know. I think it's great for the psychology of the team. So that one is, you know, what the hell? Yeah, maybe, yeah. I get it, but you know, that's just.
Okay.
But I'm still not sold on Malzahn at all. I'm not sold on him.
I got another one. I like, we're going to stick with the what the hell. We're going to stick with it. I got another one for you, G.
Right.
What the hell are Alabama fans thinking wanting to start Ta over Jalen Hurts? What the hell are they thinking? Jalen Hurts went on.
Yeah.
He almost went 15-0 last year and had Bama in the chance in a position to win the championship game. So what the hell are they thinking wanting to start a freshman against?
Well, again, they like drama. You know, Alabama fans are never satisfied. We all know that. I mean, they've won more championships than anybody in the past 10 years, and they're still not satisfied. You know, they want more recruits. They need more of this. They need more of that. So, I mean, what else can you do down there? I mean, Jalen Hurts is not, and I've repeated this many times, he's not the best or most efficient quarterback there is. But for college, I would say that he is. You don't have to be able to throw the lights out in college football. So the big thing is, can he run the offense? Yeah, he can. Yeah, I mean, there's really not too many people out there that can do it better than him. And I said that, and I don't really, it is what it is. But what's your take on that, man? What's your take on that?
Man, you know what, man? My take on it is, just grab stuff and run with it, man, because it sounds like the cool thing to say or the cool thing to hear. Like I say, I've been saying this for a long time. Jalen Hurts isn't the greatest passer, but
no.
He was the offensive MVP of the best league in college football as a true freshman, and I can only imagine that he's going to get better. That he's going to get better. So 36 touchdowns. To do better than 36 touchdowns, I mean, I think things are good. I honestly think he's good, man. I think the league will be a little tougher this year. Now, I do think the league will be tougher.
That's my point. Let me get a little more critical on that. We know that's my job, be a little bit a little critical. Okay, Jalen Hurts, this is what I've always said. His dad is a high school quarterback. He grew up in a system at home where he should be efficient already at quarterback position. I think he's an awesome and a great athlete. Got that. But as I always say, the Mike Vick metaphor I always use, people are going to figure out how to stop the scrambling after so long. You know, they have a season now to study film. You know, he is a great athlete. He's going to get loose. But he's going to have to start beating people with his arm versus with his feet. So this is a very critical year for him to expand. I'm not saying that he cannot do it, but I'm also saying that by history, I don't see him improving as much as people expect him to because of his home situation. The guy grew up with his dad, mm-hmm. who's a high school coach. So you're telling me that he didn't – go ahead.
I never thought about it. Like, I never thought about that. I'm serious. You just very rarely does somebody put something on my mind. But you just put something on my mind, you know, pretty heavy, man. And you know what? I would agree with you, man. I would back that and agree with you and talk about it to the moon if Nick Saban wasn't walking around here smiling and so happy right now. This dude is in love.
He can do it with anybody. Why would he not be happy? He won with Blake Sims, man. Blake Sims, which is to me similar quarterbacks, two running backs to the quarterback position.
According to Nick Saban, now this is what he said. These were his words today. Nick Saban made the comment that the wide receivers are actually practicing now. Our passing plays are being installed. They're being worked on. I think he said he's confident that the team will be a better passing team this year. He talked about Jalen.
I think they will.
He actually said, you know, that Lane Kiffin, he did everything but came out and said, Lane Kiffin just didn't give a damn about Jalen passing the ball because he was just doing whatever it took to score points. So the offense wasn't as balanced. But he believed that this year the offense will be much improved and much more balanced. And it's definitely going to be interesting, man. But hey, we're still on what the hell?
Come on, man! What the hell? I'm about to go back to that. What the hell? What does that mean? You telling me Saban, who's the head coach, can't override an idiot that he hired to do something more of what he
Dude.
Thinks the offense can do? I'm not buying that,
man,
bro.
So much
not,
I don't know. I don't know if you guys have been. I don't know if you've been following Lane Kiffin, man. But Lane Kiffin been talking some cash money shit these last few days, man. Like,
yeah, that's what he does.
Lane Kiffin has. Hey, he didn't left the hood and became a. he went to the good side of town and became a straight up G. He left the SEC and now he's running his mouth, man. He actually said that, you know, there were times when he know his flip mouth got him in trouble with Saban. So evidently he and Saban were going at it pretty bad. In fact, there's a report that's supposed to leak sometime this week that Saban almost didn't make it his entire first year. There was a point at Nick Saban's, Lane Kiffin's first year at Alabama, where Nick Saban was about to fire him on the spot. But
yeah, I believe that.
Hey, that story will be leaking sometime this week. Feinbaum hinted. If you listen to Feinbaum, I heard you today, and I know what's going on too. I know what's going on too, but. You know, don't be shocked if there's some serious mud gets released here in the next few days on Lane Kiffin Saban situation. You know, even though it's in the
I
hand,
don't think
but,
it would matter. It wouldn't matter. Right, it wouldn't matter.
It's no big deal.
He made a fool out of himself his whole career, just about Tennessee, USC. I mean, he got fired before he didn't even make it on the plane at USC. I mean, that was an embarrassment. He's a great coach now. He's a talent,
you know,
man.
Hey,
Lane Kiffin is a talent.
Hey, this is an SEC mixtape moment. This is an SEC mixtape moment, man. Because you know what? We all have that one homeboy. We all have that one homeboy who just always managed to get all these good damn jobs but get fired all the time. You'd be like, how he always get this damn job, man? I'm talking about
yep.
We all have that one homeboy who's just able to go mess him up and bounce right back with another awesome job. We all have – Lane Kiffin is that homeboy. That's Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin has made a lot of bad decisions, man. A lot of bad decisions. He's like the friend that we had back in high school and college. Now, I'm a little older. He's the guy who got a TRU tattoo back in the 90s. TRU. Where are the guys that got TRU tattoos? Right. That wasn't a good decision, man. TRU was not a good decision.
On his man. On his neck. It happened.
What the hell was he thinking? What the hell?
But he bounces back. He bounces back, man. And I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with last
Talent.
Year's view. If you guys watch the show, if you don't watch Last Chance U, I'm telling you, man, you guys need to watch the show, man. It's just a really, really good show. If you love football, you'll love the show. But they had a Florida State transfer on there who committed to Lane Kiffin. And honestly, we all know Lane Kiffin is a little crazy. But he will call an offense, buddy. Hey, he will call an offense.
Yes, sir.
And this guy, whew. Hey, man. Hey, I got a question for you, G. Willis, man. And you going I really wish you could get Coach Boyd on the show. And Coach Boyd, if you listen, please tweet out the answer or something. Tell us about it. But, man, this Alabama-Florida State game, this is a big boy. This big boy football. Jeremy Pruitt is pretty familiar with Florida State. How much weight does that carry in this game? Jeremy Pruitt's familiar at Alabama's defensive coordinator. His familiarity with Florida State. Do you think that plays a big part in the game? Do you think Saban did that? Do you think Saban thought about that? Because, you know, this game has been playing for a while, you know,
Saban,
bumping up against
Saban
Florida
thinks
State.
About everything, man. He thinks
so,
about everything.
So he,
I
you
mean,
think he considered that, considered this game at the beginning of the year before he hired Pruitt?
Yeah, I think he did.
I do. I do too.
Yeah.
I agree. So with Jeremy Pruitt having, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is he's pretty familiar with Jimbo Fisher, man. He's familiar with the way he practices. He's familiar with the way he schemes. I honestly think that could be Alabama's edge, because looking at the rosters, man, both of these teams are loaded. So
what does that mean?
With Jeremy Pruitt having, you know, and this is kind of, I know people change signs. You know, they change the play calls, they change the keys, but you know, honestly, you kind of someone who's been there, they can kind of pick this stuff up. They can pick this stuff up. So, you know, Jeremy Pruitt, he was Florida State's defensive coordinator in 2013. You know, when Auburn played Florida State for the championship, Jeremy Pruitt was their defensive coordinator. And I think he was there for almost 4 or 5 years coaching with Jimbo Fisher. So, I mean, that's an edge, man. That's an edge. He's familiar. He's definitely familiar with Jimbo's coaching style and what Jimbo's likely to do in different down situations. And having that advantage with the players that Alabama has, I think it's something there. And it's not being discussed much at all. I don't know why, but it's not being discussed much at all. And I think that's kind of an edge, man. That's kind of an edge.
I think they already have an edge just by being Alabama. I don't think that plays a huge factor in that game, but it might. But
well, okay.
I mean, I think Alabama is just uberly talented. They have the scheme that it takes to beat anybody. I mean, it's just how they play on that day. Just like you said, I mean, you made a perfect example, and that stuck with me as well. The quarterback would have to have a masterful game. I mean, it would have to be the game of his life in order for them to beat Alabama. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they will or they can't. I'm just saying I really think the odds lay with Alabama right now just based off of the team they have, the team they always have. I mean, it's crazy how talented that team is, man. Crazy.
Hey,
the running back, I didn't even realize.
Think,
oh, he's here? Okay.
Billy B.
I didn't know he was here.
What's up, fellas?
B, man, I got a question, man. We were
up?
Just talking about, you know, Jeremy Pruitt being familiar with Jimbo Fisher. You know, does that give Alabama any type edge in the game? I think it does. I think that's Nick Saban's brilliance. You know, he knew this game was coming 2-3 years down the line. He saw an opportunity to make a big splash. He hired a great defensive coordinator, and he gave himself an edge. In a game like this, man, in a game like this, and with so much time to plan, you know, I don't think it would be as big an edge if this game was, let's say, later on in the season. You know, but with Alabama being able to plan for this game, you know, for so much time, and Jeremy Pruitt having that familiarity with Jimbo Fisher, I think it's something there. I do. I think it's an edge, a calculated edge by Saban. What say you, Billy?
Well, I think the key to that game is going to be if they can keep their quarterback upright, and if Hurts is progress like they say he has. They keep their quarterback upright and Hurts has progress, I think it'll be a good game. But if they can't keep him protected, I think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be close. I really don't.
You know what?
Wow.
Billy, you have a great point. You got a great point right there. And I'm going to say this. I got to go back to the Clemson game, because what Deshaun Watson did that game was amazing. Clemson did not keep their quarterback upright, and they still won the game by absolutely amazing quarterback play. DeAndre Francois is a baller. He's a baller, man. I mean, that kid got hit more than any quarterback in college football last year. Got up and still threw touchdown. I'm not sure. I didn't see him get hit by Alabama defensive line. No, I did not see that.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this. Now, I believe Deshaun Watson got hit more than him in a game by Alabama in the championship game more. But Deshaun Watson is a different beast. Now, if he can beat Deshaun Watson, he could. I believe it's going to be a great game.
Well, that's cool, man. Hey, Billy B, since we're talking about Bama a little bit, man, there's a lot that's been coming out, man. I actually named the show Saban Loves Jalen. Saban Loves Jalen. Dog, Saban is happy. I've never seen this guy happy going into a preseason. I mean, he's doing interviews. He's not cursing people out. He's not giving people the evil stare. Everything they ask him, he's just like, Jalen Hurts. This is new. Has he really improved? What are you hearing? Is it Jalen Hurts improving that much, or is it the offensive coordinator? His plan is making Saban's happy for some reason. He's happy. I'm not used to that.
I believe it's double coming from. New England. I mean, you can look at New England offense every week. You think that they have a challenge, and they find a way to exploit some. You know, you know, Ray Perkins was there, and they was doing a lot of stuff, and I couldn't see why you couldn't do it at Alabama or why you couldn't do this. You know. It's just a whole bunch of different things, but I guess people learn different things as they go through their careers and you know, evolve. But he exactly saw a weakness in a defense, and it's a week away, you know. But it seems like it's more time that they get preparation for in the pros, but I guess it's not. It's still a week away, you know. But we'll see how it goes. See how that marriage goes.
Okay.
It only takes one dumb play.
Man, I'm telling you, man. But everybody's talking about, and we got off our last show. We ended on this. You know, a lot of people have been talking about quarterback play. You know, Hurt, Francois. You know. DeAndre Francois, that's just a smooth name, man. That's a smooth name. Folks just like to say it. Quarterback Francois. You know, but I'm thinking about the secondary on these teams, man. Man. Two of the best secondary players in the country, if not the two best. Minkah Fitzpatrick and Mr. James. Mr. James has been out for a while.
I don't think
it matters. Due to his injuries.
Yep.
You know, that's the only thing. You know, who wants to – it'll be tough, you know, coming back against Bama. But, man, we've seen him play. We watched this kid play, and man, he is a monster. But you got Minkah, who's absolutely – he had more touchdowns than I think majority of Alabama's receivers last year with interceptions. That's crazy.
You think that's scheme? Is that scheme or is that just his talent?
Man, it's talent, man. That cat is a roamer. I mean, he covers so much space, man. He covers a lot of space. And Derwin James covers a lot of space, but I think Derwin James is more – he's better with the run. So I give Derwin James the edge on the run. I give him the edge and run,
him.
You know, in run defense.
I would disagree. I would say Derwin James to me is just better all around. I've seen him in pass protection, but you know, in coverage, and he's the man all the way around.
Derwin
but,
can play
know.
About seven or eight different positions on the defense. Minkah, I don't know if y'all remember this, but as a freshman, when they were playing Georgia. He was the first score on offense or defense. He blocked the punt and walked it in, and everybody was like, "Who was this freshman?" And he was starting then. he's just, I mean, special teams, it doesn't matter where you put him at, he's going to perform. But he can play any, yeah, he can play any position. He's known what everybody's supposed to do on the defense ever since he was a freshman. Every position, he knew where they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to go, the whole nine yards. He was very, very high IQ.
That's cool. That's cool, man. Well, let's talk about some other players in the secondary, man. I'm gonna tell you who I'm interested to see this year, man. Tony's still there at Bama. Tony Brown.
Ooh. Yeah.
Tony Brown still at Bama? This is his senior year, right? Tony Brown is, man, he is a monster athlete. I don't know how, but he just always seems to stay in Saban's doghouse. But when he gets on the field, you know, I compare him a lot to Trey Matthews in that he's either making a big play or a completely big F up. You know,
making
there's no
a fool out of himself.
There's no
I didn't
in between.
See him.
He's either making a big time play. I mean, a big time play, or he's giving the other team a touchdown.
What do you see him mess up at?
I've seen him mess up. You know what? Wasn't it him that got burned up in the Clemson game?
Mm-hmm.
Was that him who didn't cover Hunter Winfrey?
Yeah, that was him.
It was him.
I just they showed it this past weekend, and it wasn't that he just got beat. It was an interference. It was an interference played by the other receiver, and he still almost got to the play. So
there's been several. He just always seems to be around when something terrible happens. Just like Trey Matthews, I swear Trey Matthews can be played like great. He can be played great for like 3 weeks in a row. When something terrible happens.
Gee. So you talking about on the cross play?
Yeah, the last play of the game.
All right. I'm glad y'all brought that up. We talked about if Nick Saban, if someone else had the equal talent, does he get out coached? Okay. His own player that he handpicked out of Gaston, Alabama, Trey Kirkpatrick, that started as a freshman and played all his 3 years there at Alabama, criticized Saban and said that he get out coached. He said the same exact thing that we was talking about. And if you read that, he said that there is a coach. If you get beat on that play two or three times, you have to make the adjustments. He said those kids was not coached up to watch for that down there or anything. So that player's going to beat you 100% of the time. That was just one thing that he said. The second thing that he said is what I said. They stopped running the ball altogether after Bo Scarborough got hurt. But Damian Harris had 70-some yards on fewer carries. They just went to Scarborough. But after Scarborough got hurt, they just kept doing the read option pass thing with Jalen Hurts.
So I'm asking you, Bill, what the hell? Why did they do that?
I'm not the coach, dog. I can't tell you why they didn't do it. But I was screaming at my TV, too, run the damn ball.
Well, I was laughing at mine, so I didn't care nothing about it.
The number one way to keep Deshaun Watson off the damn field is run the damn ball.
No, I agree 100%.
Jalen Hurts can't pass. They did run the ball.
He ran the ball.
He ran the ball, and number 10, Bullware, knew exactly where he was going. That was his man, and he tackled him every time.
Yeah, he had a spy on him. He tackled him every time except for when Jalen ran
every
the touchdown
time.
And put Alabama ahead.
And
the defense.
Exactly what I just said.
back to what I said in the beginning of the show. Do you not think that they're going to do that this year? People are not going to put a spy on Jalen Hurts if he cannot pass the ball efficiently. Now, why didn't it work just Clemson game? Why did it work just for the Clemson game?
It worked other games. It worked. They had a spy on
it. It didn't work the LSU game. LSU stopped him into the fourth quarter. Take that back. LSU stopped him into the fourth quarter, and then he got loose.
After about the fifth game, everybody stopped him until late on in the quarter until they just warmed down.
Right. You're right. That's a good point, guys. Hey, man, thanks for coming through on that good point, fellas. That was a good, great point.
I got something else that came up, man. And I think this is, to me, it's the biggest story in college football right now that no one's talking about. A lot of people are talking about it. Dabo Swinney was talking about the playoffs last year. And this is what he said. He talked about how the College Football Playoff Committee at one point wanted to put like three teams from the Big Ten in the College Football Playoffs. And he said after he watched film on Ohio State, the Big Ten made him laugh. He said he watched every single game of the Big Ten. He watched every single team. And he said after he finished watching film, he told his team, these guys are in trouble. If this is the best the Big Ten has to offer, Then this is funny. Like Dabo Swinney said that. He basically called out the Big Ten as weak.
I second that.
He said he watched every single team, and they're weak. And honestly, Clemson destroyed Ohio State. They didn't just beat them. They absolutely demolished them. That's something that a lot of people aren't talking about that happened last year, too, because it was that bad. Clemson demolished Ohio State. Now Dabo Swinney has came out and said, the Big Ten is trash.
You stupid.
They have a lot of players. They have a lot of players coming back, and one of the most senior veteran quarterbacks at the position playing. You know, I know they're going to run their table in the Big Ten because. You know, Michigan not gonna do anything, but I don't know.
Michigan will be better. Well, they'll be. You know, I think they'll beat Florida now because of Florida's seven suspensions.
Don't think so. I think they'll beat them with all them players suspended.
That would be a mess if they did. Michigan should throw the towel in after that week. They really should.
Well, you know, they lost 20 some players. Man. They lost 10 players on defense. You know, I mean, graduation. Michigan did. I mean.
That's true.
What do you expect from
him? Well, this is what, you know, you would hope for if you were a Michigan fan, that the coach that you spent all the money on and all the time trying to get, Harbaugh, is the savior of the Michigan program, meaning this is the year his players come into fruition. They're supposed to make their mark this year with his players, even though they don't have the experience. This is his guys that he recruited. So if they're not doing it this year, if they don't see, even though they're missing all those players, I get that point. But this is the year they should make it happen with his system, his players.
Now y'all,
why not?
Y'all didn't hear what I just said. Y'all did not hear what I just said.
At the end of the day, they're still trash.
They
I get
trash.
It.
Dabo said.
Yeah, I agree.
Was trash. Dabo
well, okay.
said, I mean, go listen to it. He said.
Check this out. How did they, if you have a coach like Ohio State coach, I'm not saying his name because of how he did Florida, how can he outcoach Nick Saban the way he does? But Billy just brought that up. So if you have them playing a team with all the athletes they have this year, okay, they might not be able to beat Clemson, but if they would play Alabama and given the allotted time in the playoffs, if they do their thing this season in their conference, do you have them beating Alabama in the playoff system?
Ohio State?
I don't.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I'm going to tell you why. Because I am a dork. I'm a dork. After Dabo called them trash, I went back and watched that Clemson-Ohio State game again, and I'm going to tell y'all something, fellas. Ohio State players did not know what the hell was going on. Man, the blocking schemes to the defensive line, they had no idea where the blocks were coming from. They were so confused at times that they had defensive linemen kind of dropping back in pass coverage. You know what that means when you got defensive linemen doing that, don't you? That means his ass getting wore out. That means he's getting wore out. So some of those big defensive linemen that they talk about at Ohio State, during that Clemson game, man, Clemson was scheming so well, their offense was running so well that they really couldn't detect what was going on. Then after Clemson got them tired, they just manhandled them. They manhandled them. They were running pick plays. They were running, man, they ran all type of what I call silly routes. And Ohio State didn't know what was going. But I'll tell you where I think they came from. Ohio State is actually, well, the Big Ten. The Big Ten is kind of like the old SEC, the SEC of the past. There's a lot of what people call smash-mouth football going on in the Big Ten. You know, you got Wisconsin. You got Penn State. A lot of these guys are going to run the ball straight at you. They're
going to
come straight at
you
nowadays. Exactly. You know, a lot of other conferences, they've evolved.
Hey,
smash mouth
and
football,
Penn State's gonna win some games this year too. Penn State's gonna do well this year too.
Oh yeah. But
Hey, let me say something about that. You said Dabo talking smack about the Big Ten. I think that the ACC commissioner got on them to start bragging about the ACC because all of them are talking. Is talking smack about being the best conference this year, about, you know, all of them has been talking. Him, Jimbo Fisher.
Really?
Even
I got
that used to be at Georgia. He's talking about the ACC, you know. So
that's
he had to take
point.
That with him.
And you know what? I'll say this. It's actually a great setup because if Florida State and Clemson can sweep Alabama and Auburn at the beginning of the season, all we'll hear until the end of the season is that the ACC has surpassed SEC until Kentucky beats Louisville again.
Look, and I'm going to tell you, you laugh, but that is the reason why they're doing it is because of the recruiting deal, because if they do it, they can sell that.
That's right. That's a good point. That's a good point. But I don't know, man. I think the SEC is I think they're back this year. I think they're back, man. G and I talked a little bit about this last time, man, before we got off the show. But LSU, man, LSU is being slept on. Matt Canada, LSU's offensive coordinator, who I initially didn't care for whenever they first hired him. But after doing a little research and watching some of his schemes, this is the best offensive coordinator that LSU has had in a long time. I mean, I put it like this. Last year at Pitt, Pitt hung 52 against Clemson. It was 52 or 42 against Clemson. And they also hung about 45 against Penn State. Those were two pretty, you know, and Clemson's defense last year was pretty damn good. Matt Canada picked them apart. He picked them apart, man. So I can say this with full confidence. LSU's offense is in better hands. So that talent that they have will be used better than it has been in the last 4 years. Those Odell Beckham Juniors, they won't just go to sleep. They won't go away. They'll be used properly. They will get some shine. Edlin, man.
Who's the quarterback this year?
It is Edlin. It's Edlin right now.
Did they announce it?
They haven't announced it yet, but no one surpassed them. I know they had a redshirt freshman quarterback to transfer today, and that's a big deal. That's a really, really big deal. They had that red shirt freshman quarterback.
What about the other kid? What about the true freshman quarterback?
Lowell Narcisse. That's actually why the red shirt freshman actually transferred.
No.
Lowell
the
Narcisse
other guy. The other guy
is in love with him. Which one?
The other kid, the pro style quarterback.
That's
Okay. No. Etling is the guy that's coming back from last year. Yeah, the other guy was another guy, pro style quarterback that was I heard was going to start.
Well, man, the only thing I've heard is Etling, man. All I've been hearing about him and Lowell Narcisse. They love the Narcisse kid who almost signed with Auburn. I'm probably not saying his name right.
Yep.
I remember. Difficult last names to say. But I don't care. Okay, go ahead.
I find his name. Hopefully I can find his name by the end of the show. But he was the big quarterback other than Narcisse. He was a big quarterback. Come on, but Billy, can you remember the kid?
No.
I'm pulling him up now.
Okay.
For quarterback. Let's see who you're talking about. Caleb Lewis?
Nope.
That's a sophomore.
Incoming redshirt freshman.
Danny Etling.
Not redshirt. Incoming true freshman. I'm sorry.
Well, man, I tell you, I looked at their whole roster, man.
Until they prove to me that they can put one in a good position, then I'll start paying attention to their quarterbacks because they didn't had quarterbacks for years.
I don't know, man. They haven't had a quarterback. They haven't had a good quarterback in a while, man. But I think a lot of that was due to our buddy Les.
Had quarterbacks. They had five-star and four-star quarterbacks.
Miles Brennan. That's right. Miles Brennan. You are right. Miles Brennan. He is making a little noise down there.
He's getting first-team reps right now. First-team reps during scrimmage.
Well, that's
I hadn't heard anything about the other kid. I hadn't heard anything about him. Narcisse. Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about him this year.
Talking about him, man.
I mean, I know who he is, but I've been hearing about the Miles Brennan kid all camp.
Well, that's cool, man. That's good to know. That's good to know. I'll tell you what. He's different. For making a play when the play breaks down in Etling. Now I'm positive of that because the thing about Etling is Etling has quicksand in his shoes, and
I'm not impressed with him.
Man,
not impressed with him at all.
That just doesn't that's not a good thing, man. In SEC,
it's
not a good thing. You got
to. I know what
team.
I wanted to ask you guys about, Billy. I'm glad you're on. Yeah, all of the transferring quarterbacks from Alabama last year commented about Saban and how he misled them. Can you give me a little insight on that? I know you got the true story to that.
Yeah, I mean, which one you talking about? It was two of them that they was misled.
They were both of them. They both of them were the story. It wasn't just one. It was both of them.
Say Barnett, even if I tell you I give you an opportunity to start, I wish someone can play back the first series he went out there. And he got sacked, and he actually fumbled the ball on that play and got up like he was still holding the ball in his arm and ran over to the sideline with his eyes bigger than his helmet that they showed on the jumbo.
Wait. Hey,
and
Billy,
then
I got to give
and
Billy
then,
credit.
Hold on. Let me finish.
Billy
he asked you a
that.
Question.
Go ahead.
He asked me
a question. Go ahead, Billy. Go ahead.
And then the other one, with Cooper Bateman that transferred at Utah talking all this noise, he's not even listed as the starter at Utah. So when did
one of them
misled? Was he misled to go to Utah? I mean, so that's my comment on both of them.
And Billy, I got to give you credit. I was trying to give you credit because I'm going to tell y'all something. If you go listen to our shows last year, after that first game, that was the first thing that Billy said. When we did our show, Billy said, man, did you see his eyes when he ran to the sideline?
I was there. I was there.
They showed it
on the Jumbotron 50 times.
And man, I'll
promise you, when he,
I don't think
if you go back and look,
I don't
at
think
it,
they
if
knew.
You go back and look at it, he runs to the sideline like he still got a football in his arm, and Saban looks at him and shakes his head and walks off.
That's the crib. Take a piss on yourself. He pissed on himself. He pissed
now,
his pants.
Now, Paul,
he got
part two of the question.
Pissed his pants.
Do you think this hurts recruiting for the quarterback position at Alabama?
Do you think so?
Well, that was a question to you. I mean, that, you don't ask a question with a question.
Not at
do
all.
You? Maybe.
Not at all.
Can I have a shot?
Okay.
Can I have
go
a
ahead,
shot?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Tall's entire family moved from Hawaii after that happened. And I've been saying this. You guys know I've been saying it here. I've been saying it. But Mac, Alabama has a freshman there right now who could have went to any other college. Now, and I'm not just talking about Tall. I'm talking about Mac. I don't remember his last name, but Mac. He was committed to Kentucky, and he actually flipped from Kentucky to Alabama. This kid could have went to any. He was a 5-star at one time. He ended up finishing a 4-star.
Four star.
He's still committed.
The one that threw equivalent to 8 interceptions already, dealing with spring and regular season. I mean, regular practice right now. You talking about him, the 3rd-string quarterback?
Yes, he's still committed. So I don't think it hurts the recruiting.
I do not think
it hurts recruiting at all. I think 4-star and 5-star quarterbacks are going to continue to want to play for Nick Saban.
You fail to realize we just start getting those too.
You just start getting what?
We just start getting multiple 4- and 5-star players at the quarterback position.
I'm not. You know, I kind of disagree with that one.
I want to disagree with that one too.
AJ McCarron was a 4-star, right?
5-star.
AJ McCarron, 4-star. He was a big time recruit.
How many years?
About
okay. I say multiple.
Phillip Sims.
5-star.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They had several.
Bama
Phillip has Sims.
Recruits now. They.
Yeah. Phillip Sims is one.
I mean.
Yeah, Phillip Sims is.
Plenty. Bama doesn't have a recruiting problem at quarterback. They just, I don't know, they pack up and leave after somebody wins the starting spot. I've said it here. I think Tar transfers from Alabama. I think Jalen Hurts is going to break every record at Alabama.
When did you change the pronunciation of the guy's name, Twa? When did the exchange for Tua to Twa?
Did I call
when
him
did
Tua?
That happen? What the hell?
Tua? Is it Tua?
What the hell?
I call him whatever the hell I want, man.
Hey. I see.
Tua? How you spell it?
Why?
Spell it.
T-U-A.
T-U-A? Well, hell, I just call him T then.
T-A-U?
I call him T.
T-U-A. I thought it was T.
Because Tua, T-U-A, don't spell Tua.
Because it took about 7 times for you to say it before. I like, who in the hell is he talking about? What the hell?
What I want y'all to do.
I wonder what the hell. What does Nick Saban call him?
Second.
I just looked at that Blake Barnett thing over at USC, his first series. And I'm telling y'all, dude, you just
went back and watched.
You really had to been there, because I think Dallas was trying to hype up the USC crowd, because they kept showing it over and over on the Jumbotron, over and over.
Man,
and showing his
send me put that clip in our thread, man. I want to see that, man. You know, I need to see that.
Hey,
I want to laugh too, man.
There's no way. We only have 10 more minutes left in the show. And, man, there's no way we can just, you know, get out of the show without having a Hugh Freeze moment, man. Ole Miss. How many SEC games does Ole Miss win this year?
Who give me their schedule. Do they play Kentucky? Do they play Missouri?
Man.
Do they play South Carolina?
Ooh.
South Carolina might beat their ass because South Carolina supposedly has one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. Can anybody dispute that?
You know, man, I y'all know we have a common theme on the show about South Carolina. I got to be honest. South Carolina,
what the hell?
I got to see it to believe it type program. I got to see it to believe it type program, man. I don't know, man. But Ole Miss
athletes can be there.
I think Ole Miss
they can be there all day.
I think Ole Miss is in some big trouble, man. And would it shock either one of you if before the season starts, Ole Miss loses significant players to transfer? Because
no,
you know they meet this week. NCAA is supposed to drop the hammer this week. The NCAA is supposed to, like, the Ole Miss is supposed to know something about their penalties, about the consequences for cheating this week. If they drop the hammer and it's something nasty, does anybody blame Shea Patterson for going to another school? Does anybody blame
happen.
Some of those top five scholarships they
paid? I think this is why
picking up a check
this
somewhere
is why
else?
The coach left the way he did. This is why the coach left the way he did. It was all a scheme. They will not get the hammer because of how the coach left. They're going to put all the blame on him, and they're going to live. They may lose playoff contention this year, which they won't go anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
Bowl ban or something like that.
They're sitting out a bowl game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nothing.
Well, I
down
here
anyway.
Man.
They're
I
we're losing our coach. This is the off year anyway. Let's just go with it.
Okay, man. We only have 7 minutes left, man. I just want to this is just a freestyle moment, man. We'll start with you, G. Willis. SEC, name your favorite offensive player and your favorite defensive player. Who you expect to put up big numbers?
Arden Key, LSU. I think it's going to be the standout defensive player this year of the year. Offense, I'm going to go with this one's a tough one. I'm going to go with if he stays healthy, the running back at Alabama, number 9.
Bo?
I don't say their name.
Bo Scarborough?
Yeah, Billy said I was a fan, so I got to stay true to me being a fan. I don't say their name, number 9.
Who you got, Billy? Best offensive and best defense.
I'm going to go with the best offensive weapon in the SEC is going to be Christian Kirk, Texas A&M wide receiver, punt returner / everything. Defense, I'm going to go with Ann, Alabama.
Now, you know what? Offense, man, I love Geis, man. I love Geis and the fact that LSU doesn't have an established quarterback. They're gonna ride Geis. I mean, they're gonna ride him heavy. They're gonna use him a lot.
At least
they're gonna use him until the quarterback, you know, gets stepped. So I go with Geis on offense. And defensively, man, I would have picked Deshaun Hand. If Billy hadn't have picked Deshaun Hand, I would have picked him. You know, but just to make things fun and interesting, man, I'm going to have to go with the boy dog, Mean Kai, man. I got to go with
Who?
Him, man. I just like the way the kids play. All right.
Who?
Here we go. Fitzpatrick, man. Alabama secretary, Mean Kai Fitzpatrick. I probably
said
that wrong,
but that's
the Bama in me. That's just how I roll. That's the Bama. That's the South Alabama. That's how we talk.
Second,
all right, let's go. Next question. We still got 4 minutes.
Don't get praised like that.
You say who?
I think defensive backs don't get praised like that, though.
They don't.
Well, hey, he did last year, and he deserved it. Okay, let's go. Here we go. Best offense this year, the team. Best offense. Who you got, G. Willis? Most productive offense in the SEC. No, we'll make it better.
I'm going.
Best rushing offense.
I'm going with Auburn.
Best rushing offense in the SEC. Okay, Billy Bad, who you got? Best rushing offense in the SEC?
I'm going to go either Kentucky and then Alabama.
Best rushing offense? Okay.
Yeah.
Best rushing offense in the SEC, man, I got to go with Georgia. I got to go with Georgia because I'm not sure if their offensive line has done enough repairs to have a great passing game. I'm not sure if they've had enough time. So, and don't forget, they still got Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. So, I'm going to go with Georgia for the best rushing offense with Auburn coming in. With Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, I really don't think you can go wrong with picking either, to be honest. But I'll go with Georgia. So, best passing offense. Who you got, G?
Let's go with Texas A&M.
Ooh, that was a nice pick. Who you got, Billy Bad?
Shit. If all what it says to me, I'm gonna go with Auburn and with Georgia with a close second.
Georgia. Oh, you said Georgia?
Yeah.
Hey man.
I'm
gonna shock the world here. I'm gonna shock the world. I'm going with Alabama. I'll say they'll be the most improved passing this year. They will be the
and
most improved passing.
And they improved. They
will
that.
Definitely be the most improved. So, well, I think they'll be the best. I think they'll be the best. I do. I think they have the best wide receiver.
You said best.
I think they have Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Judy's coming in. He's going crazy. And let's don't forget, man. You know, they had a weapon that they didn't use much last year that I think people have actually
forgot
about.
Calvin Ridley.
Exactly.
I agree with the athletes, but I still don't think, you know, they're not a pass-heavy team like a Texas A&M. I don't think they'll get the yards that a Texas A&M will get. I don't think it'll even be close. I think Georgia be more improved than Alabama because of the upside to that quarterback they have at Georgia is way greater, I think, when it comes to passing than the quarterback at Alabama.
Hey, man. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, here we go. Favorite team outside of the SEC. Favorite team, well, team that you expect to be the most productive outside of the SEC. G. Willis, you up?
I'm going to go with Florida State, man. Go with Florida State.
Billy Bad.
I'm going to throw a wrinkle in all that. I'm going to go with Miami.
I like Miami.
Mark Richt, man. Hey, Mark Richt, ever be overlooked. Billy, you put something on my mind right then. You are absolutely.
What's your drink sponsor
right
tonight, man? You own one tonight. What's your drink sponsor?
Hey, Billy,
I don't
kick ass,
one. That's why. I'm into it. I'm thinking. I don't know. I don't have none.
Well, we only have 60 seconds left, but I'm gonna go with Louisville. I think Louisville comes out this year. I said it last year. I just think they're gonna come out blazing. They're gonna be teams where they look absolutely unstoppable. Last year they had a lot of injuries at the end of the year, but I'm picking Louisville as a dark horse to actually win the ACC. Louisville is going to win the ACC this year.
You basically are saying Louisville is the new Oregon.
You know what? I'm saying Louisville got a badass quarterback and a coach who a pimp. They about to do it. That's our time. SEC mixtape, man. We love it. We love the show. Season is here. Yep. We out of here.
Hey.
All right, fellas. We'll catch y'all on the next show. We out of here, people.